This is Rod Peterson on demand. Now,
because we got him. Clear the track. Here comes Lack. Eddie Lack.
How about that?
How many years do you think King Henrik has left in the National Hockey League if he leaves New York?
I think he's got like one or two left. I mean, he's one of these guys that just loves hockey, and I'm sure if he could, that he would play like Jagr. 46, 47, not a big deal, right? But probably has like another one or two good years in him.
This is the Rod Peterson Show.
It is. Howdy, everybody. Welcome to Hour 2 of the RP Show, and it has been a trip. Talking a lot of hockey. A lot of hockey. Darren's here. How are you, Dupes?
I'm well.
Are you ready to lean into Hour 2?
Let's do it.
Eddie Lack was with us in Hour 1, by the way, and I just got to say this. The latest and greatest luxury real estate agent in the Arizona Valley, Eddie Lack, former NHL goalie. He drops some NHL tidbits. And again, he's an insider and he doesn't even know it. But he thinks Henrik Lundqvist is going to the Colorado Avalanche. I can't wait to see who's right between Elliot Friedman, who says that Lundqvist is going to Washington, or Eddie Lack, who thinks he's going to Colorado. Who would you put your money on?
I don't know. I trust Elliot Friedman.
So do I.
I want to lean there, but I know that Eddie Lack's got the relationship, too. And I even suggested that Colorado would be a really great fit for him. He'd get a chance to play. They needed somebody in the playoffs. He could have done great things for the Avs.
From two of our intrepid reporters, one, Armando Moreno in Mexico, and from Nelson Hakowicz, our VP of Sim Events, saying the CFL just went live having a press conference with the Mexican League. Armando says the Liga de Football Americano is making an announcement as we speak. If there's any CFL-related, I'll let you guys know. So both those guys are on it. That is breaking at 11:05 Mountain, news from the CFL and the Mexican League. I can't imagine what it is. Just before we bring in Gord Randall, let's do the Quick Six show topics. Let's come back around on it, Jordan, Director Jordan. And by the way, you throw in any special graphics that you like along the way. Okay, Jordan? Number one, NHL round one draft leftovers from last night. We're saying, you know, it's our poll question today. Who had the best opening round, Flames, Oilers, Jets, or other? The majority of voters saying other. And many write-ins saying Ottawa. If you have two of the top five picks, you're going to have the best first round. How about nobody said the Rangers? They got the best player.
I know.
So maybe the Rangers had the best first round last night. And now day two of the draft is underway, and they're telling me that it's moving very slow.
Well, and they moved up to take Braden Schneider out of the Brandon Wheat Kings, too. The Rangers did.
You know, so that would be a best
they had
round
a pretty,
one.
They had a pretty good round one, absolutely.
Todd Pinckney writes, and you missed it, Pinks. He says, Henrik to Colorado. Holtby to Calgary. Why is everybody saying Colorado now for King Henrik? Eddie Lack started something.
Oh, yeah.
Last I saw, Colorado had two goalies that played very well in the Stanley Cup playoffs. Anyway, this is so last hour, right?
It is.
We can't figure out what the heck's going on. Anyways, I'll speed it up, Gord Randall, because he's coming in as soon as I'm done the quick six. Point two, what are your expectations for rounds 2 through 7? We're waiting for, who's the Pat? Riker Matthews? Riker Evans of the Pats is waiting to hear his name called today. Damon Hunt of the Moose Jaw Warriors. I'm shocked he hasn't gone already. Some of the things that we're watching. Point three, what's been the craziest NHL transaction of the last 10 days? For me, it's Lundqvist being cut by the Rangers. You said Matt Murray being traded from Pittsburgh to Ottawa. Still sitting on that?
Yeah, I'm sitting on that.
Then I read today that Steven Stamkos is not expendable or is expendable by the Lightning. That's just how haywire hockey's gone. Point four, Aaron Rodgers' comments from the Pat McAfee podcast yesterday saying even a down year for him is a career year for other guys. Mic drop. Nobody's even arguing it. Point five, Lakers one win away from the NBA Finals. I'm not watching for the first time ever. I can't get into it. I need a crowd. And point six, CFL Sim, our broadcast will be Saskatchewan at Ottawa Thursday night. It won the poll yesterday for Canada's Game of the Week, so we're excited for it. 7 p.m. Mountain right here. What is it, 9-5 Riders at the 7-9, I believe, Ottawa Red Blacks. It's going to be big fun.
Yeah.
Okay, Gord Randall joins us, TSN's Crown Gridiron Nation co-host. as we go out to the left coast, checking in Vancouver today. Gordy, how you doing, my man?
Doing well, guys. How are you?
Good. Thanks for sitting through that. And by the way, Clark, producer Clark, the hound dog, dropped the nugget here in the break at the top of the hour that you were a teammate of Dakota Shepley's at UBC. Is that true?
I was indeed, yeah. Dakota came in as a freshman in my last year at UBC, so I got to see him as an 18-year-old who wasn't quite ready for prime time at that point in time, and you could see flashes of his athleticism, but he was only probably 250 pounds at that point, so certainly not the monster that you guys got used to in Regina, that's for sure.
Well, let me ask you this, then. Can we start there? Did you... You know, what are your thoughts on him being with the 49ers right now? From what we understand, he's very close to being activated, if he hasn't already. And then he was with the Jets before that, and obviously sandwiched in between the Saskatchewan Roughriders. Did you see that coming from Dakota?
I think he has the potential to do so. I mean, it's always an uphill battle when you're going into that level and you're not a guy that has the pedigree behind you. You know, we saw Laurent Duvernay-Tardif. He was actually a draft pick. So despite being a U Sports guy, he was actually a draft pick. And it was still a bit of an uphill battle for him coming out of what, for all intents and purposes, for NFL people, might as well be Siberia in McGill University. And Dakota's facing the same thing, coming out of UBC, undrafted. But I think ability is not what's holding him back. He's always been very athletic for a man his size. He's added brute strength. I mean, I don't need to sell you guys on what his skill set currently looks like because you've seen a lot of it. So that's not what's holding him back. It's just opportunity. And I can't speak to how this is going, but also learning systems. You know, we've seen Kyle Shanahan's offensive system. It's not simple. But one thing that Kyle Shanahan does excel at is he always seems to coach his players up excessively well to implement the different things that he wants to do. And so if Dakota can get up to speed with that, I think he's more than physically capable of handling his own at that level.
Well, it's... You have to be intelligent, A, and B, work hard. And in the case of Dakota, you're right. Same as Laurent Tardif Duvernay, if I'm saying it right. Laurent, how do I... Whatever, you know who I mean. Being from Canada, there's that bias against them. So you got to work even that much harder. And we've seen it from Dakota, so that's why I have so much respect for any Canadian that's busting their butt and doing it down there. By the way, so when you co-host Crown Gridiron Nation... with Jim Mullen, are you lockstep with him in Football Canada activities or not?
Not overly. I mean, Jim keeps me in the loop, but I have no official capacity with Football Canada. So a lot of the initiatives they're working on are things that Jim is doing himself without me being overly involved in. But I'm pretty up to date with what's going on because he and I talk regularly. So I do feel like I'm at least somewhat apprised of what's going on. Certainly not as much as he would be, but something I'm keeping a regular eye on, yeah.
Okay, well, and by the way, Laurent Duvernay-Tardif. I just wanted to get that out there so I didn't want to offend anybody because I respect him. Yeah, exactly. Yeah, Laurent. Don't say the T, as a French person told me this summer. But anyways, they, you know, Jim announced Football Canada throwing a summit this month that's being held virtually with all Canadian football stakeholders, the CFL, Junior Football, U Sports, and whoever else wants to be part of it, because I know the CFL alumni is asked to be part of that summit. How do you feel about what they're going to do, Gord?
Well, it sounds like it's really interesting what they're trying to accomplish because it works in the CFL 2.0 concept. And the overarching theme for the whole summit is the theme of alignment. And one of the things Jim has told me that he has seen as the biggest challenge moving into that organization in the last couple of years is that the various different governing bodies in football in this country are very siloed from top to bottom. CFL does its own thing and hasn't had a lot of crossover with U Sports in recent years. U Sports hasn't had a lot of crossover with the CJFL. The CJFL doesn't necessarily have a lot of crossover with the local high school ranks. And even in some provinces, you have competing governing bodies. Out here in BC, for example, you have BC High School Football, which runs American Rules Ball in the high school system. And then you have the BC PFA, which runs the community football organizations that play Canadian ball. And those two organizations have not historically gotten along great. They've butted heads a little bit. And so alignment, like I say, from top to bottom has been a theme because especially with the situation we're going through right now with the pandemic, all of these organizations are struggling right now. They've been weakened from their usual state. And so if there's ever a time for them to come together and try and work together, Jim feels like this is the time to do so. And quite frankly, I agree with him on that.
I couldn't agree more, too. Emerge from the pandemic stronger than before, and good for Jim for doing it. And by the way, you know, when you talk about them operating in silos, just before you came on, I think you heard us talking about it. Hockey does the same thing. And in my other career with mental health and substances and social services, departments tend to work in silos there. It's a human nature thing, right? So Jim's just saying, let's bring everybody together. Now's the time. I think it's tremendous. And I hope that they get all out of it that they hope. Because there's certainly progress to be made. I want to read this. Jeff the Stamps fan says, I'd love to see Duvernay-Tardif come to Calgary, but I doubt it happens. That was a bad draft gamble by the Stampeders with the benefit of hindsight. Let's go down that road, Gordon. I don't think you mind taking calls or questions from the viewers. There was a time when you could swing for the fences with a high NFL, with your high CFL pick and take a Canadian NFL guy, and they probably would come back. Sam Jaeger, Dan Fetter, Kyle. But I think now the money is just so massive in the NFL. The guys are going, why would I? They'll get one contract in, maybe two, and never play football again because it's not easy, right? That's what's changed. The money's changed that thinking.
Yeah, the gap has changed significantly. That being said, when these guys come back to the CFL, they're really highly regarded as nationals that have NFL experience. And so they're not necessarily jumping into a bottom of the line CFL contract. And it's funny that this topic should come up because I was actually just having this conversation with Neil McAvoy, the BC Lions assistant GM, yesterday regarding Christian Covington. Now, Christian is currently playing for the Cincinnati Bengals, and I think he's actually starting right now. But he was in camp with the Denver Broncos, got cut, signed on with the Bengals. So he's bounced around a little bit the last couple seasons, and the Lions are keeping a sharp eye on that because they do still hold his rights. But one of the jokes I made with Neil is I said, well, it's a good thing that you guys have learned, though. I think they took Covington in the 7th round. You've learned that that's a gamble worth taking in the 6th or 7th round rather than the 2nd or 3rd round, like they had done a couple times a number of years back.
Yeah, just like the Riders taking David Onyemata, right? I think it was a 4th round pick, and we'll never see him, same thing. Viewer Mick Panko writes in, he works with the Rams. He says, wouldn't Duvernay-Tardif make more as a doctor than as a CFL player? Well, that, of course, that's why we'll never see him. But we're talking about highly intelligent guys. Like Brett Jones has been in the NFL long enough. He's never coming back. And if you remember his draft year, he almost opted out of the CFL draft and went to the U of S to be a doctor. We're not talking about dummies here, Cord, right?
No, we are. And it's worth noting that LDT is currently serving as a doctor instead of playing in the NFL this season, too. So he's made very clear what his priorities are in life. And as much as we'd love to say football is his number one priority, I don't think that it is, and I don't mean to take anything away from him in saying that. I mean, it was notable. I noted at the time he was the very first NFL player to officially opt out of this season. And I said, you know, if the only MD in your league is the first guy to go, I don't think this is safe, maybe you should be paying attention to that.
And by the way, LDT, I like that. Let's go with that from now on. It's a heck of a lot easier.
Right?
Yeah, to say, hey, Gord, before I talk to you about the one thing that you said to Clark you really wanted to get to today, if you were talking to Neil McAvoy on BC, what do you see as the future for the Canadian Football League? Because I know they're talking. We don't know specifically what they're talking about. But how do you see them emerging from this cancellation of a 2020 season?
I think they'll be fine. And I try to look at these things as opportunities. And for the CFL, it's going to be a struggle missing the entire season, but it is an opportunity to take stock of what the landscape looks like currently. And there are some things working in your favor as a league. You still have a very strong broadcast relationship, but some of the things you have to address, I think, are the pace of the product. You still have to figure out a murky ownership situation out here in BC, for example. There are definitely some challenges the league faces, but I do not understand the doomsdayers that have been running around going, oh, this is the death of the CFL. It's not going to be that bad, but it is going to be a challenge for them. And you know, I think one of the most frustrating things from the league during this whole shutdown has been the lack of open communication in a lot of different facets. They've been mum about a lot of things. And in talking to Jim in the last couple of days, he kind of off the cuff made the comment that, you know, I think I've been on the media more than the CFL has lately. And that's a problem, because I had this moment about a week ago where I went, oh yeah, like this would have been week 13 of the CFL season. Like it's easy to forget that they exist, especially now that the NFL is back. So they're going to have to fight to recapture that. But I do believe that the CFL still has a place in the hearts and minds of a lot of people in this country. And so long as they're doing things the right way and they are remaining in the conversation, they'll come back from this fine.
I'm with you on that. And by the way, our viewers writing in about the dummy football player stereotype is going away of the dodo. And it has to be. I don't know if it's because of more complex schemes or so forth, but I'll say it again. One viewer said John Ryan came back. Well, that's a little different scenario. Came back to play in his hometown and he didn't need the money, yada, yada, yada. But the thing is, Gord, I mean, you played university ball. Those workouts aren't necessarily fun. Like, if you're doing it to build, to get better, right, to further yourself, if you don't need it, I don't think you're going to do it. That's what people don't understand. No. They think football players live the life of Riley. It is, they eat well, they train well, they're disciplined, stuff that the normal people don't want to do. Or they'd be playing. I'm sorry, I'm going off on a bit of a rant here right now, but it's not as easy as people think that it is.
No, it's not. And some guys go that way. Some guys do just naturally have that want to stay fit. And that's a big part of their lives for mental health reasons or whatever. They prefer to remain in a similar lifestyle. Whereas me, I'm not that way at all. I finished playing football and I don't think I entered a weight room for another year. I needed a break from all that stuff. And I think guys kind of go both ways on that.
Yeah, for sure. I just don't think people understand that's the mindset of a football player. Hey, lastly, before we let we go, there was a mental health initiative that you wanted to talk about. I'm interested to hear about that. What do you got?
Sure. Yeah, I wanted to give a quick plug to this because it's just getting off the ground. It's being run by Katie Utley, who is the wife of Clint Utley, and she's heavily involved in CanadaFootballChat.com. And she looked around the country in this last year here and saw a number of young football players across the country who were experiencing some serious mental health issues, whether it being related to the uncertainty around football or their own ongoing issues that already existed. One example that you guys are familiar with out in your neck of the woods, I believe, is Samuel Uko, who unfortunately committed suicide back in the spring. He's not the only one by any means, but that helped spark something in her to get an initiative up and running and provide some resources for specifically geared towards young football players, amateur football players in this country if they need them. So the organization's called Tackle It. Their website's tackleit.org. They have a few different initiatives going on. They're doing a player peer program where they're trying to connect younger players with older mentors around the country. They have resources for coaches. They also are doing monthly keynote speakers. So the first one was Adam Bighill of the Winnipeg Blue Bombers last month. I do not recall off the top of my head who the next one is scheduled to be, but I think it's very much worth checking out, and I want to help get the word out there from coast to coast because this is a big thing that's affecting our community right now. So if you want more information, you can go to tackleit.org or you can hit them up on Twitter. It's at Tackle without the A, so T-C-K-L-E-I-T. And you can find out more information there.
Okay, Gord. So I have had amateur football players' parents say to me, there are no resources out there for players. And I'm like, yes, there are more than you even know. But how would you know if we didn't talk about stuff like this? And by the way, they wouldn't be asking me if their kid didn't need it. Right?
Yep.
So tackleit.org.
I know it's Gordy, something near and dear to your heart, Rod, so.
Yeah, exactly. All right, Gordy, keep in touch, my friend. Stay safe, and I appreciate the time today.
Will do, guys. Take care.
Gord Randall out in Vancouver joining us today from TSN's Crown Gridiron Nation. Can't wait to get them back on the air. And I'm just going to break here and come back. Monty, you know Monty, in Saskatoon, he writes, next year is so far away, 2021 CFL season. It's actually not. If you really want to think about it, depending on how you, if you can look one day at a time or just say, hey, because somebody's got to be thinking about next year. And you know CFL people are thinking about next year because it's actually not that far away.
Yeah. And it's faster considering there's no games now.
Yeah, it's actually next season. So, right?
Oh, yeah. Big time. So they want to get on the field.
We got to talk about that and more. And bad news out of Quebec today. Sports update coming up after this break. You're watching the RP Show on Game Plus TV Network, Facebook Live, and listen live at rodpeterson.com.
Laid back and kicking it. Let's head back to the studio. Here's Rod.
Welcome back, everybody. We got news. Thank you to our viewers, Robin and Janelle, pointing out that Tristan Robbins, who was on this program yesterday, has been drafted 56th overall by the San Jose Sharks. And by the way, the Sharks taking Ozzie Weisblatt of the Prince Albert. It's Ozzie's on the table right here.
Ozzie's right here.
31st yesterday. So I don't even know. It's Brian Gross. Isn't it Gross? He scouts for San Jose. So he was lurking, these guys. We didn't even know that they were in our barns. And they're going heavy on the dub.
Pretty great.
It's about time the San Jose Sharks did. Marlo worked out pretty good for them.
They got Noah Gregor, who was drafted out of Moose Jaw and won the WHL title with PA. So they're heavy, heavily influenced.
I got to say this, by the way. We're really learning a lot in the pandemic. I've said it a million times. Jason Gregor, close friend of ours from TSN 1260 Edmonton, tweeting this. Please stop complaining about the NHL draft possibly taking all day, or at least stop tweeting it. It's a different year. It's all virtual. Many fans wish their job was covering hockey. Enjoy it. Needless complaining is a bad look. End rant. We had 4 months without sports, and we didn't even know if there was ever going to be hockey again, and now people are complaining that the draft's taking all day. Nobody's sucking it up. Nobody's getting tougher. Everybody's soft. And they're not learning from this.
I'm sorry. Jack underscore 54657 on Twitter.
Yeah.
Wow. We forgot to invite you to the consult when we were kind of deciding how we were going to lay out the draft. I didn't realize you only had an hour for lunch and you wanted to get the whole draft. I'm sorry.
People aren't learning. I don't think the pandemic's going to end until people suck it up and toughen up. Yeah. Deal with it.
Yeah.
Man, thank you, Gregor, for pointing that out. So the sports update. The Ottawa Senators have acquired goalie Matt Murray from the Pittsburgh Penguins for forward prospect Jonathan Gruden and 52nd pick in this year's draft, which we're already past 52, right? Murray's a two-time Stanley Cup champion and ranks third all-time on the Penguins with 117 career victories. He did that fast. Other than until Marc-Andre Fleury showed up, Pittsburgh really wasn't that great, except for Tom Barrasso. Name me one other goalie besides Marc-Andre Fleury and Tom Barrasso in Pittsburgh Penguins history.
I know.
Don't say Ken Reggett. I was just about to say that.
I know.
Name me one other good goalie in Pittsburgh Penguins history.
But Reggett's the only other guy I can come up with. They have no other good goaltenders.
Clark just said J.S. Holbein.
Yeah, no.
The rebuilding Senators announced last month they wouldn't be offering a contract to 39-year-old Craig Anderson. And far be it for me to say, I guess you could acquire Matt Murray. I just mentioned his resume. But then, I don't know. That Russian goalie is supposed to be the next Tretiak.
Maybe Matt Murray's...
You got all these picks in the first
two rounds.
Kind of
a 2 to 3 year plan. You can see the goaltenders like Tristan Jarry. You know, it's been a while since he was drafted. They take a little bit of time. Goaltenders take time, just like defensemen. You know, defensemen take time. They get into their prime later than forwards do, and goaltenders as well. So you can be... This allows Ottawa to be patient.
I don't feel like I'm being left behind, but I definitely feel left out, and I'm okay with it. And that is all the craziness that's going on in the NHL right now. I'm not here for it. It's dumb. I wrote it in my column on the weekend. This is where hockey loses me. And you wonder why people laugh at me. Oh, who are you cheering for now? The Stars or the Coyotes or the Oilers or the Golden Knights? The players just switch jerseys like a carousel. Why? I cheer for people, not teams per se. And you have to. Did you see the outpouring from New York, like celebrities on Henrik Lundqvist being dealt? or basically cut. Did you see the outpouring?
Yeah.
Like, they're in mourning in New York because Henrik Lundqvist is gone, and it's all because of money. It's stupid. This is the time that I just... Do you enjoy it? Because I get a sense that everybody's enjoying this.
The craziness.
The chaos.
Well, I do. It's news, and it's fun to see where guys get traded. We really enjoy that, but it's... You know, the more this happens, the less we're going to care, because it's just going to be like, oh, you know, it's becoming, it'll become so common that it won't really incite any excitement or get anybody too interested in it. I think it's just everybody, but it's that social media world, because everybody can complain about why you suck. And then as a general manager, you got your executives above you being like, okay, what are you doing to fix it? I've got the guys that we want, right? We're going to ride it out. We need to continue to grow and develop and do all these things. No, it's who are you getting rid of? Who are you bringing in? You know, the thing, you just make a change, snap your fingers, make a trade, and your team's going to be better, as opposed to trying to grow a group together, which is how it used to be.
That's what the owners want out of their GMs.
Yeah.
By the way, from Caesar, writes in, Ty Conklin, Sebastian Caron. Oh, you said good goalies. From Pink's, Wendell Young, Frank Pietrangelo. Yeah, it took you guys a while to Google it. Don't tell me you're taking that off the top of your head. There's no way.
Yeah, no.
Pittsburgh goalies. You know, I'll take Pittsburgh goalies that have faded into oblivion, please, Alex. Janelle says, thank you. I'm always getting crap because I cheer for players and don't always to just my team. Ah. Spell check got her. Continuing... The Blainville Brosbois Armada of the Quebec Major Junior Hockey League have had 18 members of their organization test positive for COVID-19. The announcement came 2 days after the team suspended in-person activities after learning of one positive test following the first weekend of regular season play. The Q was the only of three Canadian Major Junior Hockey Leagues to open play around its traditional start date. So... Yeah. So basically the whole team's got it. And can I say this? Because I'm no epidemiologist or disease expert, but I play one on TV. Does it work like this? The virus worked its way through the team so we can all go back to playing as soon as they've recovered? Does it work that way? I don't know. But you get what I'm saying?
I do.
The whole team's got it. The whole team will get over it. Let's play. One guy said to me earlier today in the health profession, Cam Newton's the only New England Patriot that's got COVID? Please. Sort of like, how can you believe the numbers depending on the source? So, yeah. Does this mean the whole Q season's going down? I don't know. Nobody knows. The Houston Astros can complete a sweep of their American League Division Series when they take on Oakland this afternoon at Dodger Stadium. Houston won the first two games of the series as the visiting team and have the advantage of batting last for today's game. In other ALDS action, Tampa Bay takes on the Yankees with that series tied 1-1. If you like offense, that's your series, Tampa Bay, New York. The designated home teams have the early advantage in the two NL Division Series. The Dodgers take a 1-0 lead into Game 2 of their series with San Diego, and the Braves take the same lead into their game with Miami. This is funny. I was listening on the way up here to Lebatard. You know how much I enjoy that show. Dan Lebatard on ESPN.
Yep.
Stu Gotts said yesterday was the greatest day in South Florida sports history. The Heat were in Game 4 of the NBA Finals, and the Marlins were opening against the Braves. And then both teams got mollywopped. So he changed his stance. I can't. That's a pretty sad history for South Florida if that was the best day in South Florida history.
Right.
You think, you know, it would be something to do with the Dolphins and maybe college football.
Just two games playing on the same day. That's it?
That's it, yeah.
That's it? How about the Bucs? How about the Dolphins? How about the Lightning winning?
South Florida.
Yeah, okay.
Tampa doesn't count.
All right.
Wait till I take you there.
Miami and, yeah, okay.
See what Carol Baskin says.
Ah, yes. Which we will be visiting, by the way.
Well, I know that. Tiger Rescue. It's a busy night in Major League Soccer with all three Canadian teams in action. Toronto FC is at New England taking on the Revolution. The Montreal Impact visit the Columbus Crew, and the Vancouver Whitecaps are on the road against the San Jose Earthquakes. This sports update for the Tap Brew House and drive-through liquor store at the corner of Rochdale and Pasqua in Regina. And for Ben Cahoon's G2G protein bars, the best you'll have with seven amazing flavors. RP Show viewers get 20% off with the promo code RP Show. Order yours now at g2gbars.ca. Here's where we navigate and segue and everything. I don't know who the guy was. I could show you a picture of him. It's on my phone. There was an analyst on Sportsnet last night, and I thought he was great. He was new. Gray-haired guy. Mike Fuda? Clark's telling me that he was the former assistant GM of the Kings. I felt like I've seen him around. Mike Fuda. I could also tell that he was new to this broadcasting thing. He wasn't overly comfortable, but you could tell that he knew his stuff.
Yeah.
Did you like him on there?
I really did. And I had the same reaction because I was doing work in the office as the draft starting. And I'm looking and the TV's on and I'm looking, I'm like, this guy not really familiar. And then you look and you watch for a bit and he's quite well thought out, and he knows his stuff.
He's not overly polished or anything, but he was. And the part that got me was his comment where he said, as the GM, your balls are on the line. And I'm thinking, okay, is he going to get called in here because he's on national TV primetime? Or are they going to let it slide and say they like it because he's actually telling the truth? And my mind immediately went, frankly, to the Saskatchewan Roughriders and with Jeremy O'Day, where the buck stops with the general manager. It went to football on this occasion. You know, and the comment from Cody Fajardo on Friday where he said that part of the reason he signed in Saskatchewan was he was informed that Craig Dickinson and Jeremy O'Day were a dynamic, dynamite tandem as head coach and GM, which they are, and it worked out aces. And I guess it was this year's draft, somebody... I had got a tip, and I think Three Down reported it too, that Jeremy O'Day had usurped the advice of the scouts and took the first-round player, Matlin Riley, over the advice of the scouts. And I thought, who cares? That's what the GM should do, because his neck's on the line. I have no problem with that. I've seen that happen a million times. So, again, this Mike Fuda said it. It's not the head scout. It's not the regional scout. It's the general manager, period. And I started this show saying all the drafts that I've been at and around intricately over the years, NHL, CFL, WHL, it's the same for every team, every sport. It's the GM. This is their Stanley Cup, if you will, their Super Bowl, Darren, what's going on right now. And it is fascinating. Yeah. That if I knew more about the prospects, I'd probably be a little more fascinated. You know, Jared Dumba is really excited because he knows specifically who all these players are. I don't necessarily. How much do you know about these prospects?
Right. Not enough.
Not enough.
Not enough. Not enough to be able to watch them. I'm not going to tell you what team's going to draft which guy. But you see them enough, whether it's through the Western Hockey League, whether it's watching the odd OHL game, Q game out here, or, you know, the World Juniors and things like that. You know enough, but... not like those guys who watch every game. They watch game film in and out of, you know, league play, playoff play. They've been watching them for multiple years, tracking their development and the conversations they have on a daily basis. I mean, for me just to look at a computer screen, read numbers, look at how tall a guy is, where he's from, and read his stats, and I can tell you how good he's going to be? No.
I know. Or for me to say the Winnipeg Jets should have taken Seth Jarvis over, because he's local, over Furchetti. What do I know?
Yeah.
The difference being, everybody's entitled to an opinion. Having a Twitter account's like having a child. You don't need a license to do it, or an IQ test. So, anybody can do it, right? The problem is the teams get so upset with what's said. Primarily by the analysts, but they also get upset by what's said about the fans. And I just wish they could get over it, but they're not getting over it. We got to take a break and come back in a second. But for one, on the coronavirus thing, Wayne in Victoria says, we used to wait until we got sick to find out we had the flu. You get it right. All these cases are up and the guys don't feel anything.
Yes.
I don't get it. But I'm wearing a mask, and I'm not going to protest anymore, because if the sports team owners and sports leaders aren't going to protest, why the hell would I? Frankly.
Yeah.
That's where it doesn't make sense to me, but I'm following all the rules. We will continue. We actually had a nice comment, so I'm going to read this. From Colin in Ottawa, you guys know more than 99% of people claiming to know these prospects just by regularly attending WHL games. Sure, but I don't proclaim to be an expert on it. But thank you, Colin, for saying that. Yes, we do go to the games, and I guess that gives us a bit of a license to talk about it.
Mm-hmm. We watch enough games that for the most part, especially in the Western Hockey League, we know what we're talking about with these kids. But to tell you about all the kids from Europe and to tell you all the kids from the queue, no. Like, if we watch a handful of games from the Eastern Canadian Junior Leagues, that would be a lot. Memorial Cup we watch, obviously, but yeah. Outside of the games we watch, it's really hard to analyze.
Hey. Okay, let's just pause and come back and continue this, okay? But yeah. I will say this. Thank you, Mick Panko. Cross Hannes of Portland's drafted in the second round by Detroit. His dad is former Pat and Regina product Trevor Hannes. Good dude and terrific player. So Cross Hannes of the Portland Winterhawks drafted by the Detroit Red Wings today. Thanks. I actually am enjoying the updates. Thank you, guys. I just don't want to have to do the work. It's a great job, but you don't have to do the work up here. It's the RP Show, Game Plus TV Network, Facebook Live, and listen live at rodpeterson.com.
Oh, yeah. He's back. Time for more of the Rod Peterson Show.
We are back. We're back. I said we were just going to pause the discussion. We're going to jump right back into it. But this just came up on my Facebook. From Greg Drennan from gregdrennan.com. And I thank Chris Clark from the unofficial Regina Pats podcast for putting this on the Pats Hot Takes Facebook page. The Regina Pats have hired Evan Dom as their director of media and communications, a spot that had been filled by Phil Andrews before he announced his resignation. Dom, who is to start November 2nd, also will handle play-by-play and social media. He's been working as the associate director of communications and marketing with Canada West, which oversees university sports in Western Canada. His father, Rob, a former WHL coach working for the Raiders, Broncos, and Hurricanes, spent the last 9 years coaching in Europe. Evan's the guy who sent us this Canada West football helmet right down at the front. So he gets marketing. He gets it. Breaking news. Evan Dom hired to replace Phil the Thrill. Interesting move. Not sure that I would have made it this soon. Does the WHL know something we don't? Are they going to be playing? There must be a reason why they did this.
Yeah.
Maybe Evan knows something we don't.
Ooh.
Canada West isn't going to be playing. I saw a tweet somewhere yesterday that Austin Pratt, former Regina Pats captain, isn't going to be able to come up and play university hockey because he can't get across the border. So, back to, I don't really understand where this is going. How come rec hockey teams can play hockey or certain groups can gather, but we're not supposed to have a big group for Thanksgiving?
I know. Right?
I would feel a lot more confident if it seemed like somebody knew what they were doing. There's a lot of things that don't make sense.
Yeah.
Again, I'm not going to be the voice for that movement, but you get where I'm going.
Oh, completely. I completely understand where you're going. I mean, just some clarity and some leadership and set expectations. Right now, the expectations don't meet reality because we're all confused. You know, on one hand, we can do one thing. On the other hand, you're telling me not to do the same thing. And these guys and that those guys. And it's not set out, you know, with good expectations for everybody.
I'm not too worried that if there's no sports other than the NFL, that we won't have anything to talk about every day. Because as I pointed out this spring and summer, when it was absolute five-alarm fire and we didn't have anything for 4 months, not only did we not lose steam, we picked up steam and went to national television. So we'll be fine. And we always have billed this as a morning coffee get-together for those of you in Western Canada. But I don't know if the guys at Game Plus are still watching right now because we're not on the national broadcast, but I think you can mention that we're growing in America, so it's not just a morning show anymore. It's now a daytime sports talk show. And that's the concept, is the coffee get-together. Now, what you said in the break, would you mind telling our viewers right now, if you don't mind?
Well, you know, we've talked about this being a morning coffee get-together. For us, especially in Western Canada, because it is the morning. But it's a daytime. It's just a coffee get-together. And sometimes you wish that there was a little bell, you know, when you come into the coffee shop.
Ding, ding.
you know, ding, and the door opens, and oh, hey, Jim, like,
hi, Ryan,
welcome to coffee. You know, come sit down, we'll catch you up, and that's what we do here. And we have all of our regular listeners that watch, and we have all of our, you know, our friends throughout sports media and the athletes and stuff that are part of our morning get together. But it just hits me all the time, you know, and that's the wonderful thing about what we're doing is just.
But bring up the example.
I will. Just,
oh, you're taking the long way. Okay.
Well, the wonderful thing about it is that these moments of like. The wow moments,
yeah.
They happen every day for us. Like, we don't get complacent of, like, just another day on the show. It's every time we go to break, man, this is so much fun. Man, this is so good. Man, it's great having
this conversation.
Man,
this is going fast.
And it's going fast. But, like, to think about the other day, our coffee get-together is us sitting here, you know, chatting about the weather, chatting about sports, and, oh, yeah, there's Craig. You were carrying the Stanley Cup last night, right, Craig? Yeah, I was. I was on the ice, and it was in my hotel room. And that's who's sitting around the coffee table with us. The guys carrying the Stanley Cup.
Out on the ice wearing the mask. Yeah.
Guys who are going into Hall of Fames. Guys who have been in the Hall of Fames. You know, Don Cherry and Ron McLean. And it's to the guy in Saskatoon and Monty. And it's such a diverse group, but it's such a really fun group.
Well, and so from our viewers, from Darren Bradley, 100%. Coffee and the RP Show. Perfect match. Carlos LaGenna in Indianapolis says, and the fan interactions add to the coffee table feel. From William Works, I've watched from the start. I can't watch every show, but I catch up on YouTube. Thank you, sir. Wayne on the coronavirus thing says, Rod, you make so much sense. I don't understand the inconsistency of the rules, as you said. I don't think I make any sense at all, other than saying that it doesn't make sense. But I'm not fighting of what's going on. But, you know, at the start of the show, when I said the hate mail that we got, I kind of laughed. I'm sure that guy's watching right now. The one that really saved the most vile of comments for me and said, your success has gone to your head. I got to say it again. Thanks for saying that, because I didn't know we were having success. Nothing's changed from a year ago. What's changed?
I know.
Because we're on national television.
We're on national TV and you got more toys on the desk.
That's about it.
Yeah.
Success has gone to your
head. We're doing this.
Okay, thanks. I'm so glad you told me we were having success. Otherwise, I wouldn't have known. That's funny.
That is funny.
What was my other point? Oh, on the political thing. We're getting in a lot, too. And about other shows, too, that, oh, you're getting too political. Well, when the government is deciding whether you can play or not, there's really no other choice but to get political. And if you're going to pick a side, I've made a career of picking a side. It just hasn't been a political side. But we're going down the road here that we've never been on. Nobody's been on this road before.
No.
So don't be upset if I go take the right ramp instead of the left ramp. I'd rather be talking about games too. And by the way, if I'm critical of the way the government's handling things, this isn't Russia, is it? I think we're allowed to say we don't agree with what the government's doing. I kind of think it's been happening since as long as I've been watching news and listening to people. What's the problem with that?
That's the difference.
The government may not like it, but I don't really care.
That's the difference, you know, between having an argument, you know, having a democracy, and just yelling at the clouds and, you know... You can disagree with the government. You can disagree with the leaders.
Sure.
And we do this. And we have our opinions. But we wear a mask into the store because that's the rule.
I'm doing all those things.
And we want to do those things. So we can have the argument to say we don't think we should be wearing masks because we don't believe in this, but we still do. You know, where you lose the credibility in the argument is when you stand up and you just disregard those things and you don't... You decide to be a vigilante and say, I'm not going to wear a mask. I'm going into the store. I'm not wearing
it. We're not doing
it. And I don't believe in this.
That's the difference
between being a vigilante and actually trying to create change.
But when I started going to Arizona, I have to be honest with you, it's ranchy. And what I like about it, frankly, is if you pop off, you're probably going to get a cap in your ass. True story. So you know what? You shut your mouth and mind your own business. And frankly, I don't have a problem with that. Like the guy that got in my face from Edmonton and just tore a strip off me and said all these horrible things, not to mention the other things that I got. In Canada, you're full of yappy guys like that. There's no retribution for those guys. In America, you pop off, glove box. I don't have a problem with that. It's mind your own business. Do you see the difference?
Yeah, but we also don't think that, you know, you should be able to whip out a... you know, a Glock out of your glove box and just knock off somebody because they disagreed with you. Like, we don't believe that should happen.
I'm not saying that's true either, but I'm saying in America, I mind my own business.
You at least think twice before you say something because you know it's the same thing with fighting and hockey. You're not going to stick somebody, you know, one of the stars because you know it might happen.
He
right?
might kick the crap out of
you. We're not advocating it's somebody taking a stick to your head. But also, I understand why that ranchy feel, right? It's respect. Mind your P's and Q's. Don't be rude.
You'll be fine.
Right? And the weather's always nice. I know why you're drawn to the area. I get it. You get the ranchy feel, the manners, that whole deal.
And the weather's nice.
And you don't have to deal with bad weather.
It's Disneyland for adults.
So I'll start making my plans to move to Arizona.
Well, yeah. You're right. Some people do take it too far.
Oh, yeah.
But it's just you mind your own business and you'll be fine is the point. Whereas up here, yeah, you made a great analogy. He's very good at that. Better than me. You don't stick the goon on the team because you know he's going to kick the crap out of you.
Yeah.
John in Winnipeg. John, is this a rant of all rants, Rod? No, it's just today's for Bronco Plumbing and Heating. Mention Rod sent you and you get 10% off. Bang, bang, bang. Gary of Lincoln says, a variety of clothing you guys wear. Outstanding. AHL St. John's Ice Caps. Great logo. Thank you, Gary. This came directly from the Ice Caps. And I'll just say this before we break. Not like you all haven't been with us since day one, most of these people right here. But she said a variety of clothing. You remember my cousin Christine, she said, I wish I had your wardrobe. What did I say? It's not that hard. This is what I'd be wearing every single day.
Yeah.
All this stuff.
Oh, yeah.
All this team gear. So Clark is responsible for the dress code here, because if you don't like it, tell Clark. Or blame Clark, because he's the one that said, just wear what you'd wear. It's the greatest show ever.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
For comfort,
no,
I'm
saying.
No dress code. One more. Jeff, the Stamps fan, says Arizona people are friendlier than Canadians, in my opinion. Well, they're definitely friendlier than Calgarians. Has been my experience.
Although that's one thing that the pandemic has done.
What?
And you haven't seen this since before. I haven't put on a suit since before the pandemic. I used to wear a suit in here like 3 or 4 days a week.
I'm offended. You stopped reading my 10 things column. I went and put on dress clothes to go speak with the teachers at their retreat from St. Jerome School on Friday. Yeah. And I'm like, oh, these pants shrunk. Tossed them. Grabbed another pair. Dang, these shrunk too. Got to lay off the pizza. First time that I put on dress clothes in the pandemic.
Go back. Do some homework.
Yeah, I know, Clark.
Your homework is to go back and watch your own Instagram story, and you'll understand.
Clark said to shut up and go to a break. We'll be right back with Overtime. You're watching the RP Show on Facebook Live, Game Plus TV Network, and listen live at rodpeterson.com.
You got something to say? You want to add to the show? What are you waiting for? Don't just sit there. Say something. Now, back to the studio with Rod.
Thank you, Rick Regan. I haven't heard from him for a while. Is Rick okay?
I got to check in with that guy.
He's in Wichita, Kansas. Rick Regan, the big voice guy. Rob Hunt, one of our viewers, said it would be nice if you wore Ryder Green for a change. And Wayne says there's a giant green screen background. They can't wear it. So just hang on that. And Jeff Kozak says, this is why I love listening. If you're having a bad day, just listen and have a laugh. That's definitely what we try to do here. And I literally can't wear Ryder Green stuff. I wish y'all could have been in Lynch's basement this summer. It's actually not that funny because it was just like this. I was in his Lazy Boy. I should take you over there sometime because it's a real man cave that Lynch has. And he's sitting there and he's got Ryder shoes, Ryder socks, Ryder shorts, Ryder golf shirt, Ryder hat. Shocking, right?
Right.
And the funny part of this is he's got a variety of outfits laid out on the couch across the room. And he's like, which one of these can I wear? And I said, none of them. Because they're all green. And everything he was wearing was green. Folks, this wall behind us is green. If we wore green, we would not show up, literally. So I said, if you want to go down to the Ryder store, get a gray shirt and a black shirt, a white shirt. Believe me, they have them, I know. But you just can't wear green, Lynch. Well, why don't you change your background to blue? It doesn't work that way, John.
We'd have the same problem with blue clothes, which you and I love to wear blue.
Well, it's my favorite
The Navy. I love the Navy. Yeah.
Yeah. And the other interesting thing that I did not expect, because believe it or not, not much of what we did on this show was planned over the last 334 episodes. I didn't expect that it would become a CFL show. And a lot of that had to do with Clark, with the guests that he booked. But the other thing, I'll say it again, when we had Stevie Bags on, we brought him on as a writer on Alumni. But as it turned out, people in Winnipeg perked up, and people in Calgary and Edmonton and Hamilton. When Kevin Glenn came on and announced his retirement on our 10th episode, all nine cities we got media out of, because we never thought about that. So I was wearing Rider stuff early on in the show, and people were getting mad from the other teams.
Right. And then they started sending us gear.
That's right. We got Bomber gear. We got Lions gear. Still waiting on Calgary gear. From Darren Bradley, says, happy birthday to me. Happy birthday, Caesar. That's about all that I had. Vote on our poll. It's already outdated. That's the other thing with sports. You remember the poll question today?
Yeah, who won round one of the NHL draft?
Yeah, who had the best first round in the NHL draft? Flames, Oilers, Jets, or other? And the leader is still other, and I think Darren... We had hundreds of votes already. Hockey, from a viewer standpoint, and we have the analytics to say hockey is the most popular topic that we do.
Yeah, it is. And it's not close. They love, the hockey talk is great. And the football talk's awesome, too. But yeah, our shows are always really big when we talk hockey. For whatever reason, you'd think we were living in Canada.
I know. Surprised? Well, judging by... the viewership spikes in various areas. We can track all that data through analytics now.
Yeah. And to the guys watching, they asked about the Halloween, that we should wear green for Halloween. I've already got my Halloween costume planned.
And I've heard about it. It's a good one.
There's two, actually.
I don't even want to. I want to let it out of the bag, but I won't.
I got an hour one and an hour two costume.
Dupes nailed this, by the way. He said the New York Rangers had the best round one. Yeah. The number one overall pick, and then trading up to get Braden Schneider of the Brandon Wheat Kings. Good call by you.
Thank you.
I'm saying the Vegas Golden Knights had the best opening round. Of course I am. Clark wants to know if you're going as Kelly Remple again this year.
Yeah, no, you don't do it twice. That would be old. I enjoyed it last year, and he enjoyed it. So I will be two other people this year.
Caesar's been being funny. He said a Bo Levi Mitchell jersey would be great from Calgary. I would wear it. I would absolutely wear Stamps gear, but I'm not holding my breath for it to come. And he goes on to say, having all the prospects on is awesome. People get to meet them. And I say that too, because last night, again, my wife was watching round one with me. It was earth shattering because I have a tough time getting her to watch hockey with me, but she watched the draft. She was putzing around doing some things. She likes to see what the mums are wearing and the girlfriends and the sisters, whatever the reason. When our daughters were small, they were saying, we would sit around and watch hockey, and they would say, Taylor, oh, he's hot. Do you think he's faithful? Blah, 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 all that
stuff. Yeah.
That got to be a little much. But anyways, my wife had watched the interviews with the prospects yesterday, so she's now a fan of Seth Jarvis. She's now a fan of Tristan Robbins.
Right.
But right? That's what introduced the players to the people.
Yes, that's right. But you get the girls watching because of that. And then all the guys watch because the girls are watching. Right?
Exactly.
And I think about that even growing up. Like, you had to go to the senior hockey games because all the girls were there, and they're going because all the guys are there. And
of course.
Like, it's the place to be. They don't all have to just enjoy the game.
The place to be. You got it.
The place to be.
Last comment. Robin and Prince Albert says, Dupes will dress as Bo Levi for Halloween. You're close. That's all I'm going to say. Thanks to Eddie Lack. Thanks to Gord Randall. Thanks, Dupes.
Thank you.
Thanks to our entire crew. We'll see you tomorrow at 10 a.m. Mountain right here on Facebook Live and Game Plus TV.
For more Rod Peterson on demand, visit rodpeterson.com.